Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your help that we have received. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us to grow spiritually. Thank you for helping us to grow up in knowing you more. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the answers we have received to our prayer. We thank you for the breakthroughs we received from you. We also thank you for solving our problems. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making impossible things possible unto us. Thank you for giving us dominion over darkness, over the forces of hell, over Satan and his agent. Thank you for giving us dominion over sin and the flesh. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Bible study classes we have had on this platform for so many times. We thank you for how you have taught us your mind, your will, your way through these Bible study classes. Thank you, Father. We thank you for so many things you opened our eyes to see when we were looking at the topic called persecution. And now we're going to be moving to a new topic. I ask, O Lord, that you speak more from your heart to every one of us. In Jesus' name. Let this teaching be empowered by you to change lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. As I announced during the last Bible study class, that we'll be starting a new topic today, which is called backsliding. Backsliding. Yeah, that is sliding backward. Yeah, it's like when you're walking on a very slippery ground or slippery floor, and then instead of you going forward or moving forward, you slip backward. Yeah, all of a sudden, you start to go backward instead of forward. Yeah, so that is the meaning of backsliding. to slide backward. Yeah, in your walk with God, you can also say it means to turn back from following God. Yeah, to turn back, to start a new journey that is against the journey God Himself has set before you to follow. So that is, you turn away from the path God has positioned your feet to walk on, and then you followed another path or another road or another pathway. That is backsliding. Yeah. Embracing a different journey that is different from the journey God put you in. Yeah. Or following a different and opposite direction that is different from the direction where God is. Yeah. Or the direction where God is leading you to fall. Yeah. And then it also means falling away from God. Falling away from God. We know that God is highly exalted. So anyone that turned away from God have fallen. Yeah, because if you stop following God, it means you're not following Satan, or you're not following darkness, or the dark kingdom. Yeah, so there's no middle ground. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. Yeah. You're either planted in the light or you're planted in the darkness. Yeah, so that there is no middle ground. Yeah, since we know that God is in the highest and He Himself is the highest, therefore anyone that turn away from God are falling from that place where God is. Yeah, because God will keep us in Himself. Anyone that is a child of God is also inside of God. Yeah, so if you turn away from God, it means you are falling. You are falling from God. So it's more like you drop down. Yeah, like you're on the top and then you drop down. Yeah, because the kingdom of God is in the highest. God is in the highest. So you turn away from Him. You stop following Him. You stop pleasing Him. You stop obeying Him. It means you are falling from Him. Yeah, so that is why we call demons fallen angels. Yeah, because they were once with God, but they turned against God. They turned away from the truth. Yeah, they turned away from God's standard. They deliberately violated God's instructions and commandments, or they deliberately disobeyed God's instructions. So that made them to fall. Yeah, so it doesn't really mean maybe God God pushed them out of heaven. Yeah, you know, that is what we have been taught. for some years in the church that fallen angels they were chased out of heaven. Well, maybe they were chased, but what I know is that they made the decisions themselves to sin, to disobey God. And they know the implication. They know the consequence. So they know that once you turn away from God, you cannot enter heaven. So many of the fallen angels, they sinned against God on missions. I don't know if you get my point. They sinned against God when God sent them on assignments. Not while they were inside of heaven. But when they were sent on a mission, they were deceived by sin, by darkness, and they fell. So, and they couldn't enter heaven back. They couldn't return back because they know that they cannot be welcomed back. Because they know that no unclean thing can enter heaven. Even if they try, it can't happen. It's just like automatic. You turn away from God. The angels, they turned away from God. They can't go back to God. They know that. Even if they try, there is just there's a light in heaven that will push them out. They won't be able to enter back. No matter how much they try, because they are falling. And the difference between the angels and we Christians is that we still have grace. We are still under grace. But they don't have that grace of getting pardoned. They don't have that grace. But we have that grace. But even we are, I'm going to show you a lot of things in this teaching. So even we that have the grace to, to repent and return back to God and say, God, please forgive me, we must also be very careful. Because as I'm talking to you, there are people that they can no longer be forgiven. They can't be forgiven. Because they never repented. They are just playing games with God. And God knows their heart. So God did not forgive them. In fact, what was happening, what is happening to many of the Christians in that category, so-called Christians, in that category is that their heart is getting hardened day by day. When you're supposed to repent and obey God, that is genuine repentance. When you're supposed to repent genuinely and please God, and then you are now playing games with God. You're saying, God, please forgive me, and then you still go back, do the same thing. And then you come back again, God, please forgive me. God will not forgive you because he knows your heart. So what God will do is that he will be judging you. He will be multiplying his judgment on your soul. And that judgment will make your heart to get hardened. Your heart will continue to get hardened. And what that means is that God will make you to now start loving the sin more. Since that is what you want. You want to do a lot of sin, enjoy sin. So God will help you enjoy this sin. Yeah, that's what God does. He will make you to love this sin more. Yeah, you start loving the sin more. So you start loving the sin more, and your heart gets more hardened to the point that you will not be destroyed. I pray that will not be your push in Jesus' name. Yeah. So hardness of heart is when your heart is going after sin and disobedience more and more. It's like you getting deep and deeper into sin, into unrighteousness, into darkness, into addiction. Yeah, that is hardness of heart, to the point that you no longer feel sorry for your sin. You no longer feel sorrowful for your sin. I no longer feel remorseful. Yeah, you've now considered your sin, or you've now considered sinning as a normal thing. Yeah, so that is hardness of heart. That is what happens when you are playing God, you are playing games with God. Yeah, when you refuse to genuinely repent. Yeah, so if we say angels, they have no second chance, we can also say human beings may also lose the second chance, their second chance, if they refuse to embrace genuine repentance. Yeah, so even humans can lose their second chance. Yeah, I pray that your heart will not be hardened against God in Jesus' name. Yeah, so that is backsliding. That's the introduction. So we're going to look at a lot of points and sub points. Yeah, so we have point number one, which says danger signs. Danger signs that lead to losing faith. Danger signs that lead to losing faith. Yeah, I remember when I was still a student, a nursing student. They posted us to one of the primary health care centers. Yeah, and when we were in that health care center to learn more, especially to learn practical about public health. Yeah, so I remember they were telling us about danger signs. Yeah, they were telling us danger signs of malnutrition. Yeah, danger signs of malnutrition. Danger signs of cholera. Danger signs of diarrhea. Yeah, danger signs of malaria. Yeah, so what they mean by danger signs are the kind of signs you will see on people's body, and you'll be able to know that, oh, this is a sign that this person is malnourished, or this child is malnourished. That is, this child have not been eating balanced diet. Yeah. And then other signs of cholera. Yeah. So they taught us those signs. Yeah. So here we are looking at danger signs that lead to losing faith. Yeah. So what are the signs that once you start seeing those signs in your life as a believer, you can start to know your spiritual condition, your spiritual state through those signs. Yeah, once you observe those signs in your life, you can know where you stand spiritually with God through those signs. You can know that you are losing faith at that moment when you observe or notice those signs. So those are the things we want to look at. And under this point number one, we have a lot of sub points or subtopics. Yeah, quite a lot of them. Yeah, so I repeat, point number one, danger signs that lead to losing faith. Yeah, the first sub-point, which you can say point A. Yeah, point A under this point number one says cooling off and losing first love for Jesus. Cooling off and losing first love for Jesus. You know, when something it cools off, like something that have been hot, the something that have microwave in your house or in your kitchen. So let's say you put a food inside the microwave, and then you heat up that food. Yeah, or maybe you put something on fire. So you put food on fire on the stove, whether electric stove or gas stove, to heat that thing up. Yeah, and then after the thing is well heated, then you leave it to cool off. Or you just forget, about it. Maybe you wanted to heat the food, but you just leave it there. So cooling off, something that has been hot, then suddenly get cold. Yeah, so that's what cooling off is about. So your first love for Jesus should not cool off. Should not get cold. Yeah. So point A says cooling off and losing first love for Jesus. Let's start with what is first love? Yeah. What is your first love as a Christian? Your first love is that fire, that strong passion that started to burn in you, in your soul, from the day you gave your life to Jesus, or from the day you start taking your walk with God seriously. Yeah, because some people they can't even remember when they gave their lives to Jesus, or when they seriously gave their life to Jesus. Yeah, because we have people that they can't even count how many times they've given their lives to Jesus. Yeah, because they did it today, the following day, they went back into sin. And then the Holy Spirit convicted them, they returned back again, surrendered their lives to Jesus, and then they go back again. So some people may not really remember, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you may not remember the exact time you fully or completely surrendered your life to Jesus. Yeah, but at least you can remember when you started to take your walk with Jesus very seriously, or your relationship with Jesus very seriously. And some people will say dedication to Jesus. Yeah, they said they dedicated their lives to Jesus again. Yeah, and from that time they meant business. They meant business with Jesus. Yeah, so your first love is that strong passion and fire that started to burn in your soul at that time you surrendered your life to Jesus. That is, you repented of your sins, and then you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. And you surrendered all your life to Him, to follow Him. Yeah, so that passion in your heart, yeah, that made you do that, yeah, and that stayed with you after you have done that. I mean, the love, the passion, the fire in your soul that made you to dedicate all your life to Jesus, or to surrender all your life to Jesus, or to take your walk with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus seriously. Yeah, that fire, that passion, that is your first love. Yeah, and usually after you have done that, that passion will still continue in your heart. Yeah, it can also manifest in form of joy and peace and excitement and happiness that you feel in your soul, that you can't really, you may not be able to describe it. Yeah, a kind of joy, peace, happiness, passion, a kind of strong desire to get closer to God. Yeah, strong desire to know God more. Yeah, so that is your first love. Yeah, that is your first love. Now, point number eight says, once this first love starts to cool off, there's a problem with your Christian life. Once your first love for Jesus starts to go down, Let's continue. I don't know what happened to the network. As I was saying, once this first love, which I've already described to you, yeah, it's like young people that are in love. Yeah, the young man and the young woman that are in love. And yeah, and they so much love each other, they kept thinking about each other. They can't do without seeing each other in a day. Yeah, though maybe they are not yet married, but they are planning to get married. Yeah, but there's this strong passion they have for one another. Yeah, so that is how this first love manifests. Yeah, when you newly give your life to Jesus, or you start to take your relationship with Jesus seriously, yeah, that fire in your soul, that passion, that joy, that is your first love. That craving for His presence, craving for more of Him. Yeah, not that you are craving for money, and then the reason for going to Jesus is so that Jesus can give you money. That one is not first love. First love has nothing to do with. I mean, your first love as a Christian has nothing to do with earthly things, earthly possessions. Yeah, that's to do with your connection with God, your bond with God. Yeah, your passion for God. Yeah, your passion for His presence, for His knowledge. Like, you just want to know Him. You just want to be with Him. You just want to be very close to Him. Yeah, that is your first love. Like, you just want to serve Him, please Him, do His will. Yeah, that is your first love. Yeah, you just want to make Him happy. Yeah, that is your first love. So it has nothing to do with, in fact, it has nothing to do with miracles. Your first love as a Christian has nothing to do with miracles or signs and wonders. Yeah, it's about your relationship with God. Yeah, which always starts from that moment you made up your mind to follow God in faith forever and to please Him forever. Yeah, so once this first love starts to cool off, once it's no longer strong like it used to be, it's no longer hot as it used to be, then there's a problem. So once you notice that your first love is now fading away, that is when you should quickly, amend your relationship with God. Because if you don't, you may lose it forever. Yeah, I pray you will not lose it. That is if you still have it. in Jesus' name. So let us look at the Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. Revelation 2, four to five. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Yeah, because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus was talking to this particular church, the church in Ephesus. He was sending a message to that church. He was saying that he had something against them. And what was that thing he had against them? He said they left their first love. The first love they had for him, they left it. I pray you will not lose your first love. And if you have lost it, I pray you get it back. In Jesus' name. Now let us read verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Do you see that? You know, some people, they preach, what do they call it? I think they call it eternal salvation, I think it's eternal salvation. They also call it once saved, always saved. They preach that once you are saved, or you surrender your life to Jesus, then you are always saved. That is, it doesn't matter what you do after that, even if you go and worship the devil. So they say it doesn't matter what you do after that, you still remain saved. So I believe you can see that this scripture we've just read contradicts that doctrine. Because that doctrine is a demonic doctrine. It's from Satan. There's nothing like once saved, always saved. Because Jesus said here, he said, if they don't repent, he's going to remove their candlestick out of his place. And do you know the meaning of candlestick? If you read the previous chapter, or let's see if I can show you. If you read the previous chapter, Revelation chapter 1, You're going to see that Jesus was standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Yeah. Seven golden candlesticks. Jesus was standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And those golden candlesticks, they represent the seven churches. So if you see Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, let's quickly read it. Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. So Jesus was going to explain the meaning of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. So he went further to say, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Yeah, do you see that? And Jesus said in this place, in this Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, that if they don't repent, he will remove their candlestick. So, see it like this. See it this way, that every church of Jesus Christ, that is every church that it is Jesus that established them through the Holy Ghost on earth. See it as that every church on earth, that is living churches that were really planted by God. You know, there are churches now that are not planted by God, that were planted by false prophets, false pastors. And of course, there are some planted by agents of Satan. You know, someone can be false and is not really an agent of Satan. He's just using a gimmick and deception and lies to deceive people. Yeah, whereas we have some false prophets that actually go to Satan to get power. Yeah. So my point is that we have churches that weren't planted by Jesus. So those churches, they are not recognized in heaven. So those churches have no candlestick in heaven. Yeah, because God never planted them. Whoever planted or established those churches did it for self-benefit or selfish interest. Yeah, because God isn't or wasn't involved. Yeah, but there are churches that it is Jesus that planted them through the Holy Ghost. That is Jesus using human vessels planted those churches on earth. So now, every church has a candlestick in heaven. So Jesus used this first chapter in the book of Revelation, or this beginning chapter in the book of Revelation, to show us how heaven and earth are connected, and how the churches, how we God's children, how we are connected with heaven, how we are being represented in heaven. Yeah, because we are the church. Yeah, so he said he will remove their candlestick. So which means that when a church continues to sin, though maybe that church was first planted by God, that is, Jesus himself granted it using his servant. Now, if after that, after the church has been planted by God, and the people that formed that church started to sin against God, and then they went away from their first love, Jesus is going to remove their candlestick in heaven. I don't know if you're getting my point. Jesus will remove their candlestick. If they continue in disobedience. Yeah, so that is why today there are churches that, though they were once established by God through the Holy Spirit, but now they are falling away and they are no longer recognized in heaven. Their candlestick has been removed from heaven. Yeah. Those of us that are spiritual and still hear from God, we can know. Yeah, so that is why before you join any church, make sure you pray very well and be sure that God wants you to join that church. Yeah, because it's possible that church has been removed from heaven. So that church is no longer recognized in heaven because they have failed Jesus. And Jesus can no longer pardon them. Yeah, because they have demonstrated that they don't love him. And they don't want to love him. Yeah, so there are a lot of churches today that have been rejected in heaven. And they can no longer be accepted. I mean, they can no longer be accepted. Yeah, because they can no longer repent. They have made up their mind to serve Satan and to serve sin. So God, who knows their heart, removed their candlestick from that place. If you study church history, you're going to see that these churches that were mentioned, many of these churches that were mentioned in the book of Revelation, they were established in somewhere around Turkey. I'm sure some of you know the country called Turkey. Today, some of these churches that was mentioned in Revelation, in this place we've just read, some of these churches they were planted in regions inside Turkey. And today, Turkey is an Islamic state. Yeah, there's no trace of these churches in Turkey today. So which means somehow they lost their candlestick and they were overtaken by the enemy. Yeah. So and even today many places now, many places in the Western countries, you can't find churches there anymore. You may see church buildings, but people no longer worship there. In fact, some church buildings have been turned to restaurants, turned to maybe parking lots. Yeah, because the churches, they died. They died eventually. But these were places where people would come and pray and hear the word of God. But as years, as many years kept on passing, they lost the fire and they died. Yeah, the churches died. Yeah, so what I want you to see is that backsliding is real. And it can happen to anyone and to any church that is not very watchful and prayerful and obedient to God and to the Word of God. Yeah, it can happen to anyone. Like as I'm talking to you now, some churches have already been rejected. So it's just a matter of time before they will completely, how should I say, it's just a matter of time before they will completely forget God. Yeah, or completely become satanic. They may still be trying to, you know, some of those churches, they may still be trying to do what is right. Yeah, but their hearts are not after God anymore. Their hearts have turned away from God. Yeah, but some of them, they can still try to do self-righteousness. Yeah, they can still try to do outward righteousness to convince people that they are still doing the right thing. Yeah, but as time goes by, even the outward righteousness, they will lose it too. Yeah, because you can't give what you don't have. Yeah, so even the outward holiness, righteousness, they will lose it too. So and before you know it, they will close down, or they become a satanic church. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. You can write it down. What I'm saying now is like a prophecy. Even many churches in Nigeria here, just give it some years, they will shut down. Because at the moment, they have lost their first love. They have lost the fire. Yeah, so it's just a matter of time. Maybe a matter of 50 years from now, or 50 years from now. Just a matter of time. And then you won't hear of them again. What I mean, I'm not talking about they will lose fame. I'm not talking about fame. I'm talking about that you won't see any trace of Jesus or righteousness in their lives again. Yeah. So backsliding is a very serious thing, and it's not something we should joke with. It is not something you should joke with. Well, that is if you really want God's kingdom. If you really want to enter into God's kingdom, yeah, then I don't think you would joke with this thing called backsliding. Let us also look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Revelation 3, 16. 15 to 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Can you see that? So if anyone comes to you and then they say, there's nothing like you getting born again today and then you lose your salvation thereafter. Show them these places in the Bible. Yeah, because those words were coming from the mouth of Jesus himself. So don't let anyone deceive you. Yeah. If you fail God, you will lose God. That is it. If you fail Jesus, you will lose him. If you fail God's kingdom, you will lose God's kingdom. It's as simple as that. Don't let anyone deceive. It doesn't matter who you are or your title. It doesn't matter whether you are a bishop or archbishop or reverend or apostle or pastor. It doesn't matter your title. You fail God, you lose him. You fail Jesus, you lose him. You fail heaven, you lose him. It's as simple as that. So don't let anyone deceive you. Yeah, don't let anyone deceive you. And don't deceive yourself. Yeah, so in this place, Jesus was telling them, he said, I know you guys, I know you. You are neither cold nor hot. He said, I know your work. That is, I know your fruit. I know your lifestyles. I know your attitudes, your behaviors, your character. Yeah, I know even your thoughts. He was saying, I know everything about you. And from my assessment, I can see that you are neither cold nor hot. You are lukewarm. And because of that, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So which confirms that God keeps us in himself. Jesus keeps us in himself. Yeah, every one of us that is walking with God, where we are walking with him is inside of you. Yeah, that's how we walk with him. We walk with him in him. Yeah, because we are inside of him. So which means as he moves, we move. So all you need to do is to make sure you are still in him. Make sure you are still inside of him. Don't fall out. So once you are still in him, you are saved. Yeah. And you still have hope. You still have hope of heaven. Hope of glory. If you are still in him, and if he is still in you, yeah, because as you are in him, he's also in you at the same time. Yeah, but Jesus was saying that if they don't repent, he will spew them out of his mouth. So meaning that they will stop being in him. Yeah. You know, the scary thing about this is that Jesus is saying he will spew them out. Yeah, you know, some people will say, Jesus loved me so much, he cannot forsake me, he cannot leave me. I will be a very caring God. I will be a very loving God forsake his own child. No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that Jesus would forsake me. Don't tell me that he would disconnect himself from me. Yeah, don't tell me that because he's a caring God, he's a caring Father. Well, I'm telling you now from the scripture, Jesus himself saying he will spew people out of his mouth, because they have chosen to be lukewarm. Yeah. So, let us go back to the Bible and stop believing lies that people are spreading in the name of God loves you. God loves you. In the name of grace. Yeah. They will say, we are under grace. Be careful. Yeah. Because Jesus does few people out of himself. Yeah. So what does it mean to be lukewarm? You can see, you said you are neither cold nor hot. What it means is that these people, they don't want to leave God and they don't want to leave the world at the same time. That's the meaning of lukewarmness. It's a spiritual state where you are connected to Jesus and the world system at the same time. You're connected to Jesus, or let me put it this way, you want to remain connected to Jesus, and at the same time, you want to still remain connected to the world, to sin, to your flesh, or your human nature. Yeah, you want to remain connected to Jesus, and yet, and at the same time, you still want to be connected to the world, and to sin, and to unrighteousness. So it's like you putting one leg in the light, and then putting the second leg in the darkness. That's lukewarmness. You want to get close to Jesus, and then you don't want to get free of hatred, pride, bitterness, anger, lies, yeah, and every other kind of thing. That is lukewarmness. And Jesus said he cannot tolerate people like that. He said he wished that they choose one side. Yeah, so he was telling that church that I would prefer that you choose one side. Yeah, if it is light that you want, embrace light. And if it is darkness you want, embrace darkness 100%. So don't try to play games. Yeah, and this lukewarmness of a thing is what I have seen to be very rampant in churches today. Yeah. And I'm scared for those Christians. Yeah. And I'm scared for them. Yeah. Even for those pastors, ministers of God. They don't want to detach from the world. And they still don't want to detach from Jesus. I'm scared for them. You know why? Because they will perish suddenly. You know why they are still thinking, oh, Jesus still cares for me. He loves me. That is when they will perish. It will be very disastrous. I don't know if I get to my point. You know why they still have this confidence that God loves me, He cares for me, He is protecting me, He's watching over me. Even at that time, in that moment, that is when destruction will come upon them very quickly. And that is why, you know, some of these Christians just hear that they have this problem and then they are dead. Some of them you just hear that they have this sickness and that swift destruction. And then you'll be wondering, how come I thought this person was prayerful? Yeah, that is swift destruction. While they still have confidence and boldness that God is with them, even at that time, their lives just get cut off I pray that you will not embrace lukewarmness. In Jesus' name. I pray that you will not be a lukewarm Christian. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you are still hearing me. I don't know what is wrong. Praise the Lord. I don't know what went wrong with the network. Yeah, I've tried switching to other network. So I don't know if you were able to really get many of the things that I have said so far. Yeah, because I don't actually know when exactly the network went off. Yeah, but maybe I can just do a brief recap. But if you have missed a lot, you can let me know. Or you can let me know at what minute, you can let me know the exact time that you weren't hearing my voice again. Yeah. So that I can know if you have actually missed a lot. Because I was explaining many things. Yeah. So, what I was saying, if I'm to do a brief recap, what I was saying is that I'm scared for Christians that are lukewarm, Christians that want to be attached to God, and at the same time, they still want to be attached to the things of the world. They still want to be attached to unrighteousness, worldliness, fame. Yeah. So I was saying that I'm scared for such kind of Christians because their destruction will happen suddenly. Okay. Yeah. Someone said she missed the last 10 minutes. Yeah. Don't worry. Just follow what I'm saying now. Yeah, we're actually still at that scripture, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3 verse 15 to 16. And that's the scripture we are still looking at. Yeah. So I said that destruction will come upon such Christians suddenly. Yeah, because number one, they can't even know when Jesus has thrown them out of himself. Because in that place, Jesus said, if they don't repent, if that particular lukewarm thought refused to repent, he said he's going to spew them out of his mouth. Yeah, so lukewarm Christians, they can't know when Jesus have done that. Yeah, and the moment Jesus do that, they can't be saved anymore. Yeah, once Jesus have thrown you out of himself, because you are lukewarm, because you are not serious, you're trying to play games with God, you're putting one leg in the light and another leg in the darkness. So once you continue in that state for a long time, you won't know when he would throw you out. And the moment that happens, you are vulnerable to all the attacks of Satan. Yeah, so the lukewarm Christians, they will be suddenly destroyed, even when they think that Jesus is still defending them. Even when they think that Jesus is still for them, and is still covering them, and is still protecting them, that is when they will be suddenly destroyed. Because they are actually no longer in Jesus. Yeah, because they have chosen to be lukewarm. Yeah, so be careful about lukewarmness, because that is what I have seen in churches today. Yeah, that is what is going on everywhere now. Many pastors, ministers, Christians. Yeah, that is what they are doing now. Yeah, they are laying hold of the things of the world, the practices in the world, the lifestyle in the world, and at the same time they are also trying to lay hold of Jesus and of the things of God. Yeah, that is lukewarmness. Yeah, and the truth is that when you are lukewarm, you can't grow spiritually. Yeah, because Jesus will consider you as a bastard. Yeah, I think a bastard is an illegitimate child. Yeah. I pray that you will not be lukewarm in Jesus' name. I don't know if I should take the second point, or we should stop here. Okay, let me quickly look at the second point. Yeah, don't forget I said point number one is danger signs that lead to losing faith. Now, under this point number one, I said there are subtopics or subpoints, and we've looked at cooling off and losing first love for Jesus. That is point A. When your first love for Jesus is getting cold, and then you are losing your first love. So when you see that sign, quickly repent. And then point B says, being filled with own ways and desires. That is, being filled with your own ways and desires. That's a sign that you're backsliding. When you are filled with your own ways and desire. Yeah, you're not filled with God's ways and God's desire. All you want is just your desire, your ways. Yeah, you just want to get what you want. Yeah, you don't care about what God wants. Yeah, you're just after getting what you want. And you don't care about doing what God wants. Once you see that sign, it means you're backsliding. Yeah. And that is what is going on in the church today. Yeah, so you can see that there are a lot of backslidden Christians in the church, and many of them don't know that they are backslidden. Yeah, so let us quickly look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Proverbs 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Yeah, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So that's what that part that says a good man means someone that is not a backslider in his or her heart. Yeah, and that person will be satisfied because he has a good heart. Yeah. So when your heart is after God, even the thing that you want, God will give you. And in fact, God will even give you more than what you desire. Yeah, because God also wants to take care of us. God wants beautiful things for us. And from experience, I realize that what God wants for us are even far more greater than what we want for ourselves. So God wants great things for us. Yeah, but because, you know, many Christians, they're not patient, and they are so filled with their own ways. Yeah, that is why they don't know that God really also wants great things for them, and, you know, that he wants beautiful things for them. Yeah, so some, they think, God don't really care about them. Yeah. And doesn't love them and doesn't want to answer their prayers or grant their prayer requests. It's because they don't really know him. Yeah. When you have known him, you will realize, I used to think like that. Yeah. That maybe God doesn't really want anything good for me. Maybe he just wants me to continue to suffer. Yeah, but when I forsook my own ways, yeah, and I surrendered all to him, and I made up my mind that I will follow him, I will please him, I will serve him, I will love him, and I don't care whether I have what I want or not. I'll just do what you want. That was when I now realize that He actually also wants great things for me. That was when I discovered that He actually wants great and powerful things and beautiful things for me, far greater than what I wanted for myself. Yeah, so when you are filled with your own ways, you will be blindfolded and you will be able to discover how much God wants to satisfy you. Yeah, you'll be blindfolded. Satan will blindfold you. Yeah, and you won't see that God actually has very great and greater plans for you. I mean, plans that are greater than your own plan. Yeah. I pray that you will not be filled with your own ways. In Jesus' name, I pray you will surrender to God's ways, that you will embrace God's ways and God's will. In Jesus' name. And we know that the ways of God is the way of selflessness. The ways of God is the way of crucifying your flesh, forgetting about yourself, and selflessly loving Him. That is, you are loving Him not because you want to gain something, but you are just loving Him selflessly. Yeah, not because you want something back. You know, that is what many Christians are doing today. Even when they give because they want something back. Not because they love God selflessly. Yeah, so the ways of God will forever remain selfless. Yeah. So in the ways of God, you can't embrace self. You have to crucify self. You have to drop yourself or throw away yourself, forget yourself, and forget your will, forget your own ways, forget your own desire. You have to forget everything about yourself. You have to die to yourself. Deny yourself and then embrace Him and love Him selflessly. Yeah, without wanting anything back. But we know that God is not God is not wicked. Yeah. And he's not evil. He will always bless us when we really follow Him according to His will. Yeah, God is not a slave master. You can't forget about yourself, die to yourself and follow Him sacrificially and not get blessed by Him and not get rewarded by Him. It's not possible. He will reward you, He will bless you, He will take care of you, He will satisfy you. Yeah, because He is love personified. He is mercy personified. Yeah, He's not a wicked God. Yeah, but it is wrong to just follow Him because of what you want. And now you have turned your walk with God into transactions. I give you this, so what are you giving me back? Yeah, God, I give you this now. So what are you giving me back? Yeah, some people, they just do some small fasting. And they're already expecting a reward. Yeah, they're saying, God, you can see I prayed and fast, so what am I getting in return? That is foolishness. Your prayer and fasting shouldn't it be about getting more closer to Him? Should it be about you just getting things from him? It shouldn't be about yourself. Of course, you can have personal things in prayer. Yeah, but you must not make prayer about your personal things. You can have personal things in fasting, but it must not be about you. All these spiritual exercises we do shouldn't be about God. It should be about Him, about getting closer to Him, about spending time with Him, about getting to know Him more, getting to know His will more, and His ways more. Yeah. So stop practicing transactional Christianity. May God help you to be wise. So I'm going to stop here. There are still some scriptures. We're going to continue with those scriptures. I think we still have three scriptures under this point B. So we'll continue with point B next week. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram group, and I will answer your question then. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this time we have spent in your presence. Thank you for the things you have exposed to us from your scripture. Thank you for this new topic we started to discuss today. Thank you for so many things you still show us from your scriptures concerning backsliding. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for great things you are doing in our lives, and for greater things you are going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power that is working inside of us to change us into the kind of Christians, the kind of children of God that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your power. And thank you also for the presence of your Holy Spirit that is with us, that is in us, and that is helping us to repent where necessary and to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone that have listened to this teaching to amend their ways with you, their relationship with you, where necessary, and to be prayerful and watchful every day so as not to backslide. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.